Most current and former military chiefs of staff want more say in the defense acquisition process. Service chiefs say requirements and costs of weapon systems projects usually change after those projects go to the acquisition teams. The Government Accountability Office looked at requirements for major defense acquisition programs. Mike Sullivan of the Government Accountability Office, their Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management Issues, is here to talk about the work that he and his team did. Mike, it's great to talk to you as always. Thank you for coming on the program today. What specifically did you look at as you conducted interviews? You right with 12 current and former military service chiefs and vice chiefs.
Yes, we had two key objectives in this report, which was requested by then ranking member on the Senate Armed Services Committee, Senator Inhofe. So this report actually came after the Senate changed hands and Senator McCain took over. But we looked at two things from his request. One was he wanted us to talk to all of the service chiefs, the current service chiefs anyway, and get their point of view as to what they think should be done with the chain of command, whether they think they need more control over the acquisition process or what they would suggest. And the other thing was to study the key problems or the factors that the chiefs had identified to the Congress in the past to just try to identify chief concerns and try to get to the source of, you know, the poor outcomes that weapon system programs get.
And you write in this work, Mike, that most current and former military service chiefs and vice chiefs collectively express dissatisfaction with program outcomes, believe the requirements, development, and acquisition processes need to be better integrated. Is it your sense after these conversations that this was an autonomy issue, that the chiefs and vice chiefs wanted more control over the execution, or was it more a coordination issue where they wanted to be involved on a collaborative basis throughout the acquisition process?
One of our key findings in talking to the chiefs was that they do believe that there should be more collaboration. You know, I do think there's probably a sense of a lack of control from them, but an awful lot of this is kind of misperception that I believe is because the three big processes, the budgeting process, the actual acquisition process, and the chief's role in the requirements process don't talk to each other very well. And that kind of translates, it's almost a cultural issue. If you're not in control of something, you don't believe you're going to get your voice heard. So you know, in that sense, after Goldwater-Nichols was passed in 1986, which essentially broke the acquisition process out and put it in civilian hands, the chain of command, I think the chiefs just kind of backed off at that point.
You write that most service chiefs told GAO they were concerned that after weapon systems requirements are handed to the acquisition process, requirements are changed or added by the acquisition community, sometimes referred to as creep. And we've talked a lot on this program historically about requirements creep. And I have heard the chiefs and former chiefs that I've interviewed on this program discuss this concept of handing off and finding a lot of stuff added on afterwards. I've never heard the acquisition community take ownership of that. What's the significance that you're confirming or you're hearing the same things, I should say, that others have heard since, as you referenced, the changes that came in Goldwater-Nichols?
Yeah, so that's the crux of, I think, the crux of the problem here. So we hear an awful lot about requirements creep and how that is one of the key drivers of getting poor outcomes, cost and schedule outcomes on these systems. And if that were the case, the chiefs could just tell the acquisition owners of the acquisition process to knock it off, right? But it doesn't work that way. And what we found is that the requirements that are set at the outset are top-level requirements. They call them key performance parameters. And 11 level down from that are key system attributes, and that is really what the chiefs are sending forth to the acquisition process. That's what goes through JSIDS, and that's what gets validated as the requirements for a weapon system. And there's a significant lack of knowledge about what it's going to take to achieve those top-level requirements. So it's not until after Milestone B when the requirements are already in the midst of the acquisition process and they start product development that they really start doing that systems engineering that's needed to understand the requirements. And if your listeners were to look at our report, they'd see a nice graphic in there that kind of shows, you know, we took a generic program and showed how when you have the validated requirements that are put in a business case for a program at Milestone B, there may be six of those or, say, 10 of those. And they're very top level. It'll go this fast. It'll have this kind of range, you know, things like that. As once the program begins and they start product development, that the contractor in the program office start looking at those requirements more and actually devolving them into, you know, decomposing the requirements to see what it's really going to take to make that product, to really design these capabilities in. And at that point, those 10 top-level requirements begin to be translated into 100, 1,000, sometimes 10,000 weapon system specs. And the systems engineering knowledge that's applied, what we say is too late in the game, shows that it's going to cost a lot more. So that's kind of, that's the requirements creep. In fact, one of the chiefs we spoke to said, you could really think of this as cost creep in order to get the requirements that you want once you define them.
Mike Sullivan of the Government Accountability Office. I'm looking at that chart, and you're right. It's striking as it goes left to right. And I wonder if I'm oversimplifying it by saying that as you get between Milestone B and Milestone C, that if I say that the acquisition folks are confirming those requirements rather than the engineering folks confirming those requirements, and there may be some correlation as to the reason that costs start to move up. Am I making too much of that, or is that one of the issues that some of the chiefs referred to?
No, I think that's what they're referring to, because by then it's embedded in the acquisition process. It's really up to the product developer and the contractor who's developing the product at that point. So that's acquisition folks. That's engineers that are building the product, are learning more and beginning to, you know, it's refining the design, and the design starts getting bigger. And in some cases, they find KPPs that are actually contradicting each other. You know, you could have KPPs that are asking for capabilities that would add weight to a product that would then make it impossible to go as fast as they wanted it to. Things like that. So that's why the system, the whole gist of the report kind of focused on the chief's concerns that by the time it gets past Milestone B, it starts spiraling out of control. The key recommendation we make in this is that the department really has to integrate these two processes. And the way you do that is pull that systems engineering that you're seeing when you see the hundreds and the thousands out in the middle of product development. That systems engineering they're using to get that should be pulled forward before B, and the chiefs should still have control over those requirements, and they can make more informed trades.
You write in this report, Mike, current and former chiefs agreed that the chiefs should be more involved in programs, but their views varied on how best to achieve this. Were there common threads, at least, in those views, or were they so disparate that it was hard for you to connect some common themes?
No, there's common themes, and I think I would say that all of the current chiefs we talked to said that as far as they're concerned, they believe that the current environment, the current policy and laws that they have to govern these, probably give the chiefs enough leeway to have more control than they take now. But it boils down to a matter of priorities and the other things that they have on their plates and things like that, in addition to just being, you know, culturally these two different shops, the acquisition shop and the requirements shop, tend to stay to their own, you know what I mean? So it's a little bit parochial, I guess is a word. But they all agreed very strongly in the idea that they need systems engineering knowledge when they're writing requirements. They also, the common threads, as you asked about, they all believe more collaboration is needed. You got to break down these walls. Got to talk more. You got to be in earlier with the systems engineering so that between Milestone A and B, you can make cost trades You can take requirements out that seem to be contradictory or a bridge too far. And they also all agreed that they need a better workforce. And they need that both on the requirements setting side and in the acquisition process.
Are they implying that they need different people or more training and skill for the people they have now, or was that not a point of discussion?
I think they need more training and skills and probably more people is the from their point of view.
So it's a quality and a quantity problem.
I believe it is, yeah. And I think the other thing is the thing that's really lacking right now is on the requirement setting side, they don't have the systems engineering resources they need.
That's one of the recommendations that you make in this work, Mike. And the report says DOD concurred, citing recent policy changes. The policy changes that they made, do you believe they're sufficient to get the job done?
They may be. What we found is you don't necessarily need to change a lot of policy and laws. You need to begin to integrate the chiefs with the acquisition process more, and the policy changes that they've made to date are trying to affect that. That's kind of what they're going after. So I think the department is aware of this, and I think the current chiefs, especially in the budget environment we're in, the budget environment that we're in drives a lot of better behaviors, I think. So the current chiefs are beginning to try to collaborate more with the service acquisition executives. You know, each service has an acquisition executive that sits opposite the chief. They're the acquisition folks.